Go ahead and grab your Bibles with me, and I want you to open them up to, we're going to read in two different books of the Bible. Thank you, worship team. And we're going to actually read in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to get a couple verses there, and then we're also going to read from Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read several verses there, amen? And then we're going to pray. And this morning, I want to speak about becoming your best for God. Becoming your best for God. Somebody say that with me. Say, becoming your best for God. And, you know, it's you got to understand this today, that you are God's masterpiece. See, you have to know that, because you got to know who you are in Christ. Because the enemy is going to come and he's going to assault against your identity. You're trying to be like somebody else, or you're trying... No. Who you are in Christ, you are a masterpiece. You got to understand that you weren't mass-produced. God doesn't just, like robots that we're going to, to accomplish his purposes. You're individually made. You're fearfully and wonderfully... There's one of you. There's nobody else like you. You are God's masterpiece. Unique, one and only. And there's greatness that God has placed in your life, amen? And so you got to understand this morning, becoming your best for God, this is where we're at, amen? So 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you have it, say amen. And we're going to read verses 2 through 4. The Bible reads like this. It says, and the things that, this is the Apostle Paul writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. And then he says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier. Somebody say, I'm a soldier. He says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare, tell your neighbor he's talking to you this morning, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier, becoming your best for God. Hebrews 11, chapter 30, I want to read about these people here, different people that the Word of God talks about, that became their best for the Lord, but not in the way where we think it, but I want you to look at what the Bible says. Hebrews 11, verse 30, begins like this. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail for me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. Listen to this. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And look at what it says about them, of whom the world was not worthy. See how greatness in God is different than greatness in this world? It says, of whom the world, it says the world was not even worthy. These were so precious that the world is not even worthy of them. God took them. It says, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you this morning, God, for your presence. Have your way, God, in this place. Just speak to your people for these next few moments as we're here, God, that you would have your way, God. Speak to every person right where they're at. Let it be less of me and more of you. And we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen and amen. Say, becoming your best for God. And you can go ahead and be seated. Praise the Lord. And this morning, the reason why I want to use these scriptures, I don't necessarily want to expository on here on Hebrews or Timothy, but I do want to draw some things on this subject about becoming your best for God. Because how many know this is what we want to do, amen? As people, as individuals, as a man, as a woman of God, you want to become the best that you could be for the Lord. With your hang-ups, with your complexes, with your failures of the past, with all the different things, still inside of you is a desire to become the best that you can be for the Lord. Against all odds, against all the things that say that you can't, against the enemy that says that you won't, that you can't change, that you won't change, that God won't use you. Against all of those things, inside of you there is still a desire to press beyond everything that stands against you and become everything that God wants you to be. Jesus said this. He said, you cannot put new wine into old wineskins. You know, well, why are you saying that, Pastor Rob? Well, I want you to understand that, you know, even though we learn this principle, he said, you cannot put new wine into old wineskins. And you got to understand, when a wineskin got old, it would become hard and rigid and not able to expand. Do you know anybody like that? Come on, somebody. Don't look around, right? When a wineskin got old, it would become hard and rigid and not able to expand. But if you put new wine into it, if you put new stuff into it, somebody say new stuff, then when the wine expanded, it would burst the wineskin. In other words, it wouldn't be no good. It wouldn't be able to handle the new stuff. It wouldn't be able to handle the new stuff. My question for you this morning is, can you handle it? Can you handle the new stuff that God wants to bring your way? Can you handle the new stuff that God wants to do in your life? Can you handle the new work in your character that God wants to bring in your life? Can you handle the new level of faith that God wants to bring you to within your life? Because if that's so, then we have to become new. We have to change and allow God to change us. Somebody say amen. God is saying this. He's saying you're not going to see increase if you are stuffed in the old ways of life. You're not going to see increase if you are stuffed in just the old ways of thinking. Somebody help me this morning. Come on. Don't let me preach alone. Somebody say amen. Come on, somebody. Come on. If you can relate, if you can say amen, if it does something inside of you, don't be afraid to preach back at this preacher. Come on, somebody. Because God is saying you're not going to see increase if you're stuffed in the old ways of thinking, if you're stuffed with the old habits. So sometimes what God does is he begins to change your perspective. He begins to change your perspective and give you an outlook so that you could begin to change and be everything that God wants you to be. Somebody say amen. See, God is doing something new. God is always wanting to do something new. See, God doesn't stand still. God moves. God is like water. That's why water, when it's not moving, and it like a pond, right? Pond water, right? What is it? It starts to smell. It gets bugs around it, right? But the Holy Spirit is not like that. God is like, the Holy Spirit is like a river. And it flows and it moves. And how many know God moves? And God don't stay stuck. God is always working and God is always taking us from glory to glory. Somebody say amen. And so God is doing something new. And when you look at that word new, when you look at it, what it really means is it means something that's never been done before. Something that's never been done before. You know when something gets, it's brand new. Why do you like to purchase something new? You know, because nobody else has ever worn it. You're the first one to wear it after it was made. Come on, somebody. That's why you like to eat new stuff, right? You'll eat something new because you know you're the first one that, you know, it was freshly made, right? And so you have to understand that new means that it's never been done before. And God wants to do new things. He wants to do things that have never been done before. And he wants to do them in your life. He wants to do them in your life. He wants to take you where you've never been. Somebody say amen. He wants to change you like you've never been changed before. He wants to mature you like you've never been matured before. He wants to take your capacity where it's never been before. He wants to make you a greater leader than you've ever been before. He wants to show you that you could handle greater things than you ever thought you could handle. He wants you to understand that you could go further than you've ever gone in your life. Because it's not you, but it's God in you, and it's God through you that does the work. Somebody say something new. In your life, when you begin to step into the new, right? In this church, when you begin to step into the new, it's something new that's never been done before. But this is what's important, that it's the same. Even though God does something new, stay with me, because I kind of want to set this up for you, that God, even though he's doing something new that's never been done before, but still it's the same values and the same principles, come on somebody, that we find in the Word of God, the same values and principles that we have as a ministry, somebody say amen. It's the same values and principles that help keep you strong, that help keep you grounded and in step, that help keep you evolving and going forward. Somebody say amen. See, it's for us, it's hard to. Sometimes we lose sight of that. We lose sight of the values, the principles. We lose sight of the things that help us to be able to keep going forward and stand strong in the things of God in the midst of the new things that God is doing. And the reason why is because we get lost in that, because when you look at social media especially and the culture that we're in now, everyone is trying to outdo everyone. Right? What are you talking about, Pastor Ron? Pastor Rob, what are you getting at? Well, everyone is trying to outdo everyone. Another one, nothing surprises anymore, right? The big splash, there is no big splash. Like the biggest splash it could be, like people put the biggest splash that there could be, and just when you think you've outdone, it's like there's already someone that has done something that's a bigger splash than you. They've outdone you. You think you posted something great on social media. Oh man, this is great, phenomenal. Nobody's ever done it. There's already done something. They got a million more likes than you got. Come on, somebody. And that made more people say wow than you made people say wow. Come on, somebody. And nothing's surprised anymore. And the thing is that there is no end to it. And you know, people are able to make themselves look so impressive. Right? When you look at it and you're like, whoa, man, look it. And you know, and what is, that's part of the culture. And you get caught up in that. Right? You get caught up in that where you can make yourself look so, people make themselves look like celebrities. And then here we are, you know, and here you are wanting to be or feeling discouraged or feeling depressed because your Facebook page or your Instagram don't look like them or you feel like you don't have that in your life. And it's all like a big, you know, it's all a misconception, man. You know, people are able to do that. And so, you know, it's like there is no end to it. You think about it, you can get 100 preachers on your tablet without having to leave home. You have 50 preachers better than me, better than I could preach, right? So why come to church, right? That's the thing. That's why it's these values and principles. You ain't hearing me this morning. See, what it is this, is everyone, let me break it down to you. You know what it is? Ask me what it is. That's the tricky one, right? You're supposed to say, what is it? Y'all, what it is? What it is? Oh, what it is, somebody? No, what is it, right? What is it? I'll tell you what it is. Everyone is competing for everyone's attention. But these are the things that truly matter. We get caught up in the attention. This grabs our attention. That grabs our attention. But these are the things that truly matter. And so those that eat of it and eat of its wisdom will have true success. So you have to be careful to not get caught up. Not get caught up in that. And you know, you're bumming yourself out and you're being discouraged and you're trying to be everything else except who God called you to be. You're trying to have what other people have when God has already given you more. God has already blessed you with more. He's already placed more inside of you. Come on, you ain't hearing me this morning. God has already done greater things for you that if you would just take a moment, stop and think about it, you would be so grateful at what God has already been done in your life. And people should be wanting to be you. Not because of your Facebook page, not because of your Instagram, but because of who you are in Christ. Come on, somebody, that we are a fragrance, we are an aroma that should make people want to have the Jesus that we have with inside of our lives. You have to be careful. Don't get caught up. You know, faith is an amazing gift from God. Somebody say amen. And that's why when you look at these people here,
All these people listed that we read in Hebrews and in the Hall of Fame, if you will, showed great faith and accomplished amazing things. Right? We read about it, man. They escaped the edge of the sword, man. Some of them were sawn in two. Some of them, they died because they didn't want to renounce their faith, amen. They didn't want to renounce God. And so they died, man. They died for what we believe. They died for the faith that you and I profess this morning. They said, man, we won't deny it. We won't turn away from it. This is what we live for, and this is what we die for. And the Bible says that the world was not worthy of them. They accomplished amazing things. But the thing is that none of them were extraordinary. You didn't hear me this morning. See, none of these people were extraordinary. They were human beings just like you and me. They simply found and developed and then used their gift and their faith to glorify the Lord. Somebody say amen. They just simply chose to glorify God through these values and principles. Somebody say, becoming your best for God. See, there are certain things, and I'm not going to be too long this morning, but there's certain things that winners do. There are certain things that achievers do, or soldiers do, like we read in 2 Timothy. Remember that? Be all that you can be, right? In the army, right? There's certain things that soldiers do. There's certain things that winners and people that achieve and have certain success that they do. And number one is this. The Bible teaches us that they lay aside things that hold them back. Come on, somebody. They lay aside things that hold them back. Anything ever held you back? Right? Not just sinful things. Right? Not just sinful things, but also things that they realize that are not going to help them to get in the winner's circle. Things that they realize that are going to slow them down and not help them to get the victory that God has for them. There are things that maybe somebody else can do, but it will not work for them because they can't afford to have that. They can't afford to do that because it will slow them down from accomplishing the things that God wants for their life. And so what they learn and what they teach us is that if you want to make it into God's Hall of Fame, if you want to be your best for God, you have to be willing to let those things go. I wonder how many people are still willing, still have a desire, still have their eye on the prize, so much so that they're willing to let anything go that is going to slow them down or stand in their way or back them down. Come on, somebody. I wonder if there are still people that are willing to sacrifice and let some things go so that they can reach the prize and the goal that God has for their life. That's what these people in the Hall of Faith had. That's what they had. They had too much stuff. They said, man, I can't hold this stuff. You know, oh, they're going here, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing that. I can't go there. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm on a mission. God called me. God's done too much in my life. God saved me. You don't know where I was when God touched me. I can't afford to go back to where God brought me out of. I can't afford to go there. You got to be able to let some things go. Also, another thing is that certain achievers, soldiers do is they also have to compete according to the rules. Come on, somebody. Don't get quiet on me now. They also have to compete according to the rules. You know that even in war and battle, there are rules? Did you know that? Even in war and battle, when countries battle against countries and there's warfare, there's rules. They can't just do whatever they want. There's a certain way that they got a war. There's a certain way that they got a battle. Somebody say amen. And when you talk about it in sports, well, in sports, which I don't really want to talk about too much this morning, AB, come on, somebody. No, but in sports, cheaters eventually get caught. Am I right? Sometimes they kind of play by the rules, or some even play dirty. Somebody say amen. And they might get away with it for a while, but eventually they get caught and they lose everything, right? We've seen people that have been stripped of gold medals. They ran in the Olympics. They you know, what the 100 meter dash, or the 110 meters, sorry, the 400, and they, you know, ended up that it came out later that they used steroids. And what happened? They may have stood on that podium that day, but months later, that gold medal got taken from them and got given to somebody else because they didn't play by the rules. Come on, somebody. How many know that we got to play by the rules? We got to compete according to the rules, according to the Word of God. And and God's rules are not, this is what you got to understand, God's rules are not given to burden us, but they're given to us to help us succeed in life. They're given to us. That's why people, you know, when they don't know or they don't understand, they'll say things like, no, because if I go to church or if I serve God, then I can't do this. Like as if God's a taker. Like now God's going to take this and that. No, God's not a taker. The only things that God is going to take from us is the things that hurt us. Oh, you ain't hearing me this morning. You know, God, the only thing that he's going to take from us or that he doesn't want us to do are the things that are going to hurt us. If anything, God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be successful. God wants you to be everything that he called you to be. And it's when we follow the rules that God has given us that we're able to see that come to pass. Also, the third thing is this, is that when these people that are successful, these soldiers, these winners, what they do is they get in the race and they don't sit on the sidelines. Oh, that's good right there. See, I ain't going to get a whole lot of amens right there, but that's all right. I said they get in the race and they don't sit on the sidelines. Woo-wee. Come on, somebody. I like that. They get in the race. They don't just show up to cheer everybody else on. They get ready to strap their shoes on, their spiritual, come on, and they get ready to run in the race, participate, and help their teammates accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. You know, even in war, just like we're talking about war, soldiers, you know that in war, you can't just say, I don't want to fight. Am I right, Pastor John? You were in the military, right? You were in Germany. You were telling me. You can't just say, you don't want to fight. You can't just say you don't want to fight. You ain't hearing me this morning. Ain't nobody here in the army of Jesus. There ain't no soldiers that God has raised up. There ain't no soldiers in this place that know what I'm talking about. There ain't no soldiers in here that have Jesus as their commanding officer. Come on, somebody. In war and in battle, you can't just say, I don't want to fight. Not without getting a dishonorable discharge. Oh, come on, somebody. I can't. I ain't going to get a lot of amens. That's all right. It may be scary, and it can be challenging, but think about it. You will never cross the finish line if you don't get in the race. Huh? God's team is not like sports teams. Somebody say amen. With God, we all get to play. I said we all get to participate. We all get to compete. We all get to pray for people. You ain't hearing me this morning. We all get to talk to people, tell people about Jesus, lay hands on people, minister to them, witness to them, counsel them, encourage them, pray for them, help them. We all get to open up the Bible to people and teach them how to read the Word of God. We all get to participate, man. We're all in this race, in this thing together. You don't win it by being on the sideline. You win by getting in there, helping somebody else to be everything that they can be for Jesus. See, if you're not doing that, you're just standing on the sideline. If you're not helping somebody else, if you're not helping them open up their Bible and understand it, hey, listen, you might not be the greatest theologian. That's okay. They might not even know where the book of John is. You just show them where the book of John is, maybe. You just spend time with them. You just show them that this is just what we do as Christians. We get together, read the Word. We talk about God. We get on our knees and we pray for each other. We participate together because we are all in this race together that God has called us to. And also, it's so important that you understand this, not only that, but you're making sure that you're running your race. Woo, come on. I didn't realize I didn't have a whole lot of amen moments in this message. But I'll tell you what, I'm saying amen on the inside. Because it's important you make sure you are running your race. Everybody is an expert on how everybody else should be running their race. Woo! You all know what I should be doing, how I should be doing it. I should have done it this way. I should have done it that way. He ain't hearing me. You got to be running your race. You got to run your race. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling with the fear of God. This is not a game. This is a battle. This is real. Did you know that the spiritual, you know, this all feels real. That barbecue, when you're biting into those ribs, it's going to taste so real. When you're eating those mashed potatoes, you're going to be like, man, this mac and cheese that Sister Daisy made, I ain't never had no mac and cheese like that. And you know that that feels so real. But you know that the spiritual is more real than what we're living right now. Did you know that when you get to heaven, it is going to be a million times more real than what you're experiencing right now? Life is but for a moment. It's like a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. We are just passing through, baby. And when you get to heaven is when you're going to be home. Just passing through right now. Matter of fact, that's not even you, brother. You know who you is? You is inside of you. Don't make me bust out the word of God right now. It ain't even you. You are so worried. You is on the inside of you. That's just your tent. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Huh? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. From the earth we came, and to the earth we will return. You're going to be given a new body. That's going to be your body, your glorified body. When the trumpet sounds, when Jesus comes back, you ain't hearing me this morning. Come on, somebody. The dead are going to be raised. And then the rest of us who are still left are going to be caught up in the air with Jesus in our new glorified bodies for God. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand clap if you're excited about that this morning. But you know what's great about the fact that you just have to run your race? You know what's great about that? Is that you don't have to be somebody else. That ain't good news to you? You've been trying to be somebody else your whole life. You like trying to be somebody else? You don't have to be somebody else. God put greatness inside of you. God put greatness inside of you. God made you exactly the way He wanted to make you, because there's great things that He wants to do in and through your life. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you believe that this morning. You are a masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. You are one of a kind. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. If God, listen, His thoughts for you are too many to be numbered. Do you understand that God's thoughts towards you, how much He thinks about you, how much His mind is toward you? And here we are trying to be somebody else. You ain't got to run somebody else's race. God's given you a beautiful race to run. God's given you a precious mission to fulfill. God has given you a precious calling to obey. Come on, somebody. You ain't hearing me this. That's why you got to know who you are in Jesus, because God made you that way for a purpose. Stop trying to run somebody else's race. Stop comparing yourself with other people. We look to Jesus. I said we look to Jesus. Compare yourself with Jesus. We all fall short of the glory of God. But you don't give up. You don't use it as an excuse. Well, that was Jesus. I'm the way I am. No, we strive to be like Jesus. Even though we'll never be like Jesus, but we don't give up. We strive. It blesses God. It blesses Jesus when you try. Even though you fall down, a righteous man gets up. Come on, somebody. You don't hear me this morning. You get up. You don't stop trying. You keep on striving. You don't use it as an excuse. You might not be perfect, but you're not going to stop until God takes you home. Find out what your purpose is. I said, find out what your purpose is. And then look at those gifts and those talents that God has given you and learn how to use them. And help to build the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. And just as important as that is also running with endurance. And that means this, you don't give up. Somebody say you don't give up. Say it again, say you don't give up. Say it like you mean it, say you don't give up. You don't give up. You don't give up. You don't quit. Even if you're discouraged and you want to throw in the towel, you don't quit. You don't give up. God is on your side. Even if you get knocked down, you get back.
you keep running and you keep going and you keep striving, Jesus is with you and he's rooting you on.
A few more is that you stay focused. Also, another one is that you expect opposition. Come on, somebody. Huh? I mean, I don't always like when opposition hits, but I can't say I'm not expecting it. But I don't just live in fear like, oh man, I'm just going to be hit all the time. Right? Because I know that the bigger the level, I know the bigger the protection. I know God is good. I know God is big. I know God loves me. I know I'm God's boy. I know God takes care of me. I know he lets me go through some things. I know sometimes I'm getting crushed like that olive, and God is just using it to put an anointing on my life. And I know it might not feel good, but I know it's precious to God, because when you don't give up, when you're getting crushed, when you're getting smashed, when you feel like giving up, but you look to Jesus and you keep going forward, there's a new anointing, a refreshing that God places upon your life, and God's going to use you in a greater way. You gotta expect opposition. Expect it, but it's okay. You don't gotta live in fear. You're not gonna be like back in the days looking through the blinds. What was that? Huh? You're not be like that. But you just know. When it comes, okay, all right. You know, I knew it was gonna come. Now I need people to pray for me. Now I need to pray. Now I need to fast. Now I need to read my word so God can strengthen me, because that's my weapon that I use against the devil, the word of God. Come on, somebody, that the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. Let me ask you a question. Has the devil tried to lie to you lately? Has he tried to throw some fiery darts at you lately? That's why God has given you the word of God. That's why God has given you a spirit of faith to be able to stand against everything that gets thrown your way. He said, and having done everything, he said, stand. And having done everything, stand. Because if God be for you, then who can be against you? You feel like quitting, man, it's okay. You ain't the only one. Join the club. You think we ain't never felt like quitting? Don't let me tell you. I ain't ready to confess a feeling right now, but you ain't the only one. Right, Pastor Adam? You ain't the only one. Somebody, I feel good when I get around pastors. I feel like somebody understands me. Lord Jesus. But I know what it's like. I'm with you. I'm with you in the trenches. I'm with you in the battlefield. I know you get discouraged. I know the devil tries to lie to you. I know it's not always easy to get up. I know it's not always having a marriage that's serving God, trying to do everything that God called you to do. I know it's not easy believing for your kids when they ain't acting right. I know it's not easy when you feel like you ain't got it all together. But as long as God spoke a word over your life, you know that God is faithful to bring it to pass. See, we're different than God. God is different than us. That's why it's hard for us to understand, but you got to understand that God is good and he's faithful. And when he promises something, he does it. All of us in this place, we probably at one point in our life said we're going to do something and then we didn't do it. Promised something, you didn't show up. Somebody was waiting. They're still waiting for you. But guess what? God is not like you, and God is not like me. He always shows up. He's always on time. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. And God is bigger than anything that you need inside of your life. And then also, you got to always remember this. This is what these people always understood, is that you always got to believe that you can do more. God's not finished with you. You got to believe that you can do more. Huh? There's more. You're not done. God has done more with a few people than he did with a lot of people. I can't get nobody that reads their Bible anymore. I want somebody. I can't get no people that like. I want somebody. God has done greater things with fewer people than he's done with more people. Matter of fact, there's been times when God said, man, there's too many people here. There's too many people. Let's get rid of some. 20,000 against
$30,000, there's too many. Let's cut it down to $10,000. We could do it with $10,000. Why? Well, look at us. We're not there more than us. Yeah, but you see, you're missing it. It's not you. It's me. It's me. I'm going to show up, God said. Okay, well, $10,000 is too much. We're going to cut it down to $5,000. We're going to cut it down to $3,000. We're going to cut it down. You know what? $25,000, $22,000, whatever. Over 20,000 people. You know what? Let's send 300 out against them. And let's show them that the God that we serve is bigger than anything that stands in our way. I wonder if there's anybody that still reads that word this morning that understands that if God be for you, then who could be against you? Sometimes we look at ourselves too much. But the Bible says that God, He explains to you. God chose the foolish things of the world. Well, I'm not great. Well, I didn't come from this. Well, God already told you that. I chose the foolish things, not noble things, not great things. I chose weak things, not strong things. Huh? That nobody should glory in my presence. That the glory is going to be of the Lord and not of you. Huh? If you were all that in a bag of chips, what do you need God for? But thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God that even though we might not always be perfect, but God is still the one that shows up and gives us the victory. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning. I don't have time. I was going to look at some of the things about being a soldier, but I'm going to save that for another time. Sorry. I always let somebody down. That's all right. Listen. I'm gonna get ready to close right now. But listen, last week I talked about some different churches, right? And I talked about a church that focuses too much on the past. Pastor Al was talking about it. A church that focuses too much on the past, right? And then I talked about, there's a quote that Pastor Sonny said, and he said, if what you did yesterday seems big to you, you haven't done much today. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, that's good. Come on, somebody. If what you did yesterday seems big to you, you haven't done much today. Also, there's a church, though, that focuses, and this is what I just want to, before I close, is there's a church that focuses too much on the present. Well, what's that? It's allowing problems of this life to keep them from going forward. In other words, spiritual leaders in this age and day that we live in got to be tough. Somebody say amen. In other words, it's the enemy's strategy to do that, to get us in just maintenance mode. How many know God doesn't want us to just be in maintenance mode when it comes to the church? Come on, somebody. I want to know, where are the thrivers at? Where are the ones that are thriving? Where are the ones that are excited? Where are the ones that are on fire? Where are the ones that don't need somebody to come and be a cheerleader and remind them about how great God is? Where are the people that showed up already on fire for God, wanting to do something great for the Lord Jesus Christ? There's thrivers. Because there's also those that are just survivors. The question is this morning in this place, who outnumbers who? Are there more thrivers or are there more survivors? Come on, somebody. If you're somebody that's low energy, you can only do one thing at a time. Understand this, that, you know, we're doing something for the Lord. Somebody say amen. I know we're doing great things for God. Somebody say amen. I mean, idle time, right, is the devil's playground, somebody said, right? I don't know who originally said that, but it's pretty wise advice, right? Idle time is the devil. But you know that any room that we create, the enemy will penetrate? Because the enemy don't sleep. The enemy don't slumber. If you sit back and you're just sitting back relaxing and not do anything, you could rest assured that the enemy's not just sitting there relaxing like you. He is working minute by minute. Looking at you, sit there. Finding ways about how he's going to ultimately destroy you. And he doesn't show up with a pitchfork and big red horns on his head and go boo. Sometimes he does, but he doesn't always do that because he's smarter than that. He's been around over 6,000 years. So he makes you feel like you're okay. He makes you feel like you're all right. Well, look, it's been this many years. Nothing's happened yet. But he doesn't have a short-term plan. He's got a short-term plan, he's got a mid-term plan, and he's got a long-term plan. And he's hoping one of them's going to hit. You ain't hearing me this morning. And any room that we give is just room that he wants to penetrate. Somebody say praise the Lord. But how many know that we're focused? I said, we're focused. We're focused on Jesus. We're doing something for God. We got our eye on the prize. We are doing this not for man. We are doing this for Almighty God who saved us, rescued us, pulled us out of the miry clay. We are living for God because the only thing that's going to last is what we do for Jesus. There's a lot of Christians perspiring and not inspiring. Huh? Where everything, what do you mean, Pastor Rob? Well, not like I'm sweating right here. I'm sweating for a reason up here. But it's where everything is just, you know what those types of Christians are? Nobody here. It's the church down the street. Well, not that church. That church over there. Pastor Adequat, I got your back. It's that church over there. Huh? You know what? But the ones that are perspiring and not inspiring, it's where everything is just hard. Christians where everything is just hard. I'll try. Well, I don't know if I can. Like I said, not here. Don't get offended. Come on, somebody. Huh? Well, I don't know. Not this time. You know, it's kind of been rough. And everything is just hard. Why? Because let me tell you why. Because victory is a spirit. I said victory is a spirit. Victory is a spirit. And so is being tired. I mean, sometimes you're physically tired, but sometimes there's a spirit of tired that just wants to weigh on you. A lazy spirit. Diverted as a spirit. Huh? Distracted. Enemy knows how to distract you. Get you off course. If he can't stop you, if he can't get you to backslide, he'll just get you off course. Well, I'm not going to make him backslide, but I'm going to get him caught up over here. I'm going to get him caught. It's a spirit leading you away from the things that God wants to do. That's why you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. That's why you got to keep your eyes on the prize. Because I got news for you this morning. Winning is also a spirit. Victory is also a spirit. Jesus has a spirit. It lives inside of you. It's a spirit of victory. And God is with us. And as long as God is with us, we're able to see it take place. Somebody say amen. See, a hospital, it's a temporary place. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Can't always be down. Thank God for doctors, right? And I'm not talking physically right now. I'm talking about spiritually. You know, thank God for doctors, but when it's time to get up and get on with your purpose, it's time to get up. Have you ever been in the hospital, right? If you have, what do you want to do? You want to get out of that hospital. My mom went through the hospital, man, quite a few times. At the end there, she was, you know, thank God. God did a miracle in her life. She's still going forward, and I thank God for that because God healed her from cancer 2 times. Come on, somebody. But she was in that hospital, and she's like, man, I can't wait to get out of this place. I got to start walking. I got to start recovery. I got to get up. I can't stay down. I got to fight. If God's not done with me, then I got to keep going forward because there's more that God wants me to do. And I ain't got time to waste because life is too short. And we got to understand this morning that life is too short. We don't have time to waste. If we're going to do something for God, we got to do it now. We got to make it count right now where we're at in this time, in this day, and in this hour. I want you to stand with me this morning. Listen, what we do for God, we got to do it now. If you want to leave a legacy, you got to leave that legacy now. Somebody say amen. The risk-taking church that Pastor Al was talking about, that's that becoming your best for God type of church. It's that becoming your best for God type of church. I wonder if this is a becoming your best for God type of church. I wonder if there's Christian men and Christian women in this place that have a desire to still become their best for God in this place. I know I can't get a few people this morning that say that I'm a soldier, that God called me, that God rescued me, that I'm not done. I may have fallen down a few times, but God picks me up. I may have been hit. I may have been sidetracked a few times, but I'm back in the game. I'm back in the race. I'm going forward, and I'm going to finish strong for the Lord. Talking about that becoming your best for God type of church. when it's about what's about to happen. It's not about what happened yesterday. Thank God, we thank him for that. That's why we worship him. We thank him for all the victories. We celebrate all the victories. But it's about what's about to happen. Your dreams are not just wrapped up in yourself or in your own selfish plans or just in your job, but you walk in thinking something good is about to happen. You're too focused on helping others and in what God is doing to be stuck on yourself, discouraged on all the things you don't have. Talking about becoming our best for God type of church. You're focused on helping others. Come on, somebody. You're focused on what God is doing. You know the enemy's there and you're not asleep, but you know God is bigger and you're keeping your eyes on him. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Those are like vision driven, like futuristic. That's the kind of person that God, even though we might not all be visionaries, we might not all be, you know, but still God has put dreams inside of you. He's shown you things. He's inspired you. He has stirred you up. He's promised you things that still haven't come to pass yet, but they're going to come to pass. Somebody say amen. I know there's some people you'll never move, but where's the thrivers at? Where's the thrivers at? I know some people, ain't nobody, not everybody's always going to be happy. That's okay. But where's the thrivers at? Where's the soldiers at? Where's the ones that say, here I am. I'm in the army of Almighty God. I'm his soldier. He's my commanding officer. And I'm living my life for him. You know, we're a church that knows how to start a spiritual fire in our city. You know why? Because dead churches can't be bases. I said dead churches can't be bases. How many know God has called us to be a base? We need thrivers. We need leaders that light themselves on fire and don't let it go out. You ain't hearing me this morning. I know there ain't no leaders this morning that want to set their lives on fire. And they don't let it go out. You got to be lit. You got to be lit. Even when you get hit, you got to be lit. Come on, somebody. Don't stop. Feed the fire. Do everything that you do with fire. Pray. Prophesy. Heal. Work. Lead. Plan. Strategize. Prophesy over people's lives. Do something for God. But do it on fire, because God saved you not to be dead, but to be alive and to serve him and to be excited and to let people know that he's the greatest thing that ever happened in your life. Be willing to take the risk that others won't. Faith is risk. Somebody say amen. And it's going to separate you from other disciples. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes right there where you're at.